Tales of a well-established lesbian. Chapter 67. Current me is deeply unimpressed with past me right now. In my attempts to make this initial weekend with Bridget less intense, I've arranged to catch up with some friends just for lunch. Not in a, oh, here, meet all of my friends kind of a way. More of a, here's an opportunity to talk to other human beings if right now you hate everything and you are just grinning and bearing it until it's airport time. All of this is, of course, pre-agreed with Bridget. But now, it's the morning after we met, and, well, the very last thing I want to do is untangle myself from her or the duvet. I'm like that best kind of tired, the kind when you know it and feel it in every bit of your body, but somehow it makes absolutely no difference to you. Bridget's in no rush to get up either. And in fact, we pick up where we left off at 4 a.m, and we only stop when time becomes critical. Getting laid is to be celebrated, but it is not the best excuse for lateness. It's not the worst either, but, you know, I'm going to try and keep this a little classy, having just put out on the first night. Actually, class is the least of my concerns. I am beyond zero chill. After all of those orgasms, we are now on minus chill. I swear I'm fucking glowing right now. And I cannot take my eyes off her, as she more than holds her own with my friends. They all share an apparently dark sense of humour. And someone cracks an abortion joke. I laugh, of course, though I'm sure they don't hit quite the same when you've never had to deal with that pregnancy panic. But funny's funny, and Bridget has got that little nod from one or two of my mates before the food has even arrived. I've just been sat back, enjoying watching the folks I like interact. Getting to see how Bridget is with people, as well as continually thinking to myself, damn, she is so pretty. The way she looks over at me, her hand on the inside of my thigh, I reach my arm around her and I rest it on the back of her chair. She shifts in her seat to close the gap between us. God, I love this feeling, like I'm the biggest butch in the building right now. Every chivalrous bone in my body is alive. If we were to encounter a puddle, my poor jacket would be a sacrifice laid on the floor so her Converse don't get wet. Instead, my moment arrives with the food. Bridget's meal arrives and the chef has done her chicken, let's call it medium rare. Can we not kill off the woman I'm sleeping with, please? For fuck's sake. I'll handle this, I mutter as I go off to get the issue resolved. Part chivalry and part sheer embarrassment, because I've recommended the place and the burger she's picked, and then this is what they do to me. Not cool, people. Not cool. It's not till I'm on my way back to the table that I start to wonder if I might have just overstepped with Bridget. Oh, I hope she gets that I'm only doing it to make her day easier. You know, I know full well, of course, that she could have handled it herself. But she does seem cool with it as I sit down and tell her that her properly cooked meal is on its way to her. Even gets me a little kiss and I melt just a little bit more. Love me a cheeky public display of affection. The good old PDA always reassures me that she's not embarrassed to be seen with me. It'll never not make me puff out my chest a little bit. Bridget is as easygoing with my friends as she is with me. Kind, cheeky, hilariously dry-witted at times, and a little dark at others. She's cute as fuck too. And this chemistry, there's an electricity there. It's, I don't know, it's just there. My friends are incredibly good company. But as we come to the end of this meal, I don't really want another drink or another round of chit chat. Honestly, I just want to throw Bridget over my shoulder and take off back to bed. I'm no mind reader, but I'm 98% sure Bridget is up for that too. The clock is ticking. You know, we'd played it safe and booked her on the early flight back tomorrow. You know, just in case it hadn't turned out quite as well as it has so far. Scarlett asks about her flight home, and on hearing how soon it is, helps wrap up lunch in the politest way possible so that we can clear off and, you know, make the most of it. And that is exactly what we do. Bridget and I have spent the best part of a month winding each other up. The texts, the dirty gifts, the voice notes that contain very few words, or sometimes just the one word repeated in a moment. The photos, the phone calls, all the promises of what we were going to do to each other fulfilled one after the other. I lost track of time. It gets dark early at this time of the year, and after all that's just gone on, who knows what time it is now? Part of me wants to check to see how long I have left with her. The rest of me cannot move. My entire body is useless, still recovering, and Bridget's head is on my chest. Her limbs are heavy across me. Ah, fuck it, just let time stand still. Let it pass me by while I lie here in my post-orgasmic bliss. If she stirs, I'll stir, but until then, let me just have this moment. And then I fell asleep. Thankfully not for long, just a 20-minute power nap. I get up and I make more tea for Bridget, and I myself am in desperate need of hydration and a smoke. The most satisfying kind of smoke. A smug smoke. Because, in a less than gentlemanly way, I am more than a little pleased with my performance. I'm pretty confident in that department, and I have lived up to my own hype. I mean, that's no surprise to me, but judging by Bridget's reaction, she's not used to that not being false advertising. I think back to seeing her eyes widen and then widen again. God, this really is the best kind of smoke. Second best smoke being like the one after dinner. I can feel my own grin pulling at my face. And I can also feel myself being pulled back towards my bed. I make another brew because I've no doubt that the last cuppa has long evaporated. Now we're kind of at the point in the night where we're going to need to decide if we're going to at least try to get a few hours kip, or if we're just going to stay up until it's time to head back to the airport. I'm not the only one thinking about the airport. Bridget's been trying to do the maths. What time do we need to leave in the morning? She asks. I don't want to answer for two reasons. The first is because it is ridiculously early, like 5 a.m. early. I hate being up before 6 a.m. I've no idea why, but even 5:55 a.m. pisses me off. Second reason, well, then I have to think about Bridget leaving more than I already am. But we start to discuss logistics, and Bridget laments having been cautious and booking the earlier flight. But if you had gone and booked the later flight, then you'd probably have hated me and wished you'd booked your return flight for tonight, I point out. Bridget can't help but nod and be like, yeah, fair. Her phone starts to ring. One of her many sisters checking I haven't murdered her and stuffed her in a wheelie bin. I drift out of the room as Bridget's accent goes into overdrive doing funny voices for her niece, who, by the sounds of things, is rebelling against the unfairness of having to go to bed. It sounds like a very noisy protest. The last thing I hear is Bridget reassuring her sister that she's grand. Now I am grand. And then lots of shushing and giggling. I go back out for a smoke, and all I can think about is how much I wish Bridget could stay. And I wonder if... I get my phone out, and I Google the flights for tomorrow. There's one exactly 12 hours later. She'd still be home at a reasonable hour, and I'd get almost another full day with her. It can't be that expensive to switch flights, right? Yeah, well, I'm on the site now, so... maybe I should just check. Okay. So that price is totally doable. This is definitely an option. I'm just going to leave that tab open. You know, just in case. I'm finishing my smoke as I hear Bridget calling me from my bedroom. God, you know, I really like the way that sounds. Her in there, calling me in. All's okay with the family, Bridget tells me as I crawl back into bed. She has a couple of new videos of her niece, who she is absolutely obsessed with. And the feeling is mutual. This absurdly cute kid misses her auntie. As Bridget rewatches the video, she snuggles herself into me. She fits so well. Her hair smells so good. I don't care how many times we have to rewatch these clips, if we can just stay like this. It's surreal how comfortable this is, how right it just feels to be just chilling in bed with Bridget. Like, this is as close to a meditative state as I think I've managed in, like, I don't know, forever. which is why it takes me a moment to realise that the delightful toddler shrieks from the videos have stopped. Bridget tips her head up towards me and says, I wish I could stay. And I just can't help myself. Well, now you mention it, there is a flight at 7 p.m. instead of 7 a.m. You could stay a little bit longer if, you know, you really did want to. Bridget fusses about the cost and puts up just the right amount of resistance when I tell her not to worry about it. And then at last she gives in. We celebrate with smooching that starts to get out of hand, and we have to refocus and actually get her flights changed before we get totally distracted and get back to things. After triple checking all the details, the deed is done and the deadline is pushed just out of sight. And how do we spend our extra time? Oh, not just back in bed. No, no. The only room that doesn't get christened is the bathroom. I guess we'll just have to tick that off next time. Bridget does not like to give in to sleep, but even she has to concede for a few hours. After we wake up, it's endless cups of tea, a fry-up, lunch, an introduction to Big Mouth on Netflix. All of this punctuates the periods of times when we actually manage to put each other down for a moment. Before you know it, though, eyes are back on the clock. How the actual fuck is time going this quickly? It is seriously unfair. I've got to get a move on. Before I head out, I manage to talk Bridget into a couple of selfies. I need some proof that this whole weekend hasn't just been a complete dream. Because it has. It's got that too good to be true feel to it. I'm going to leave Bridget to her last minute packing while I nip over to Phoebe and Marco's to pinch her car for the airport run. I mean, technically, I don't need to borrow it now that we're going at a very reasonable hour, but the offer still stood, and you all know how much I love to drive, especially when I've got a gorgeous woman in the passenger seat. Less than 10 minutes later, I'm pulling up outside the pair of houses that contain my flat. The sad, sinking feeling I've been trying to ignore since last night will not be put off any longer. It's curling itself up into a ball in the pit of my stomach as I head up the stairs, back to Bridget. I open the door and I hear her inside. It distracts me from the sadness, as does the scent of my flat. You never really smell your own place unless you've been away for a while or there's something in the oven or worse, something wrong. But this isn't any of that. This is the scent of her mixing with me. Well, that and the smell of a weekend well spent, if you catch my drift. Just save me from being totally crass once more. At some point yesterday, I lent Bridget a hoodie. A very good hoodie. In fact, one I had printed myself. And she's been wearing it on and off all weekend. And you know what, folks? I don't think I'm getting that back. And you may think, what on earth makes me think she's going to steal it? Well, it's probably the fact that I can see her right now stuffing it into her bag. Though, she does look mighty fine in it, so maybe we'll just let that one go. It's time for a quick check round the flat to ensure that she hasn't stolen anything else. I mean, left anything vital or important. Because after all, who knows when we'll next get the chance to see each other. The sweep of the flat is done and Bridget has all of her stuff, my hoodie, and a cheeky extra bonus Christmas gift. A small canvas I made with Deathly Hallows on it. She saw it, she loved it, so now it's hers. It's time to go, though.
Oh, bloody hell.
This is ridiculous. I don't want her to go. I don't want to drive her to the airport. I want us to stay in this bubble. But now is probably not the time for a tantrum about it. Let's be honest. There's nothing either of us can do. Bridget has work in the morning, and you know, her whole life waiting for her back in Belfast. I guess I'm just going to have to figure out how to get over to see her ASAP. Thank God for the old brave face. It's what I'm wearing as we speed down the motorway. Bridget's playing car DJ. Some great songs, but I can't help but wonder if this Louis Capaldi lad has ever written an upbeat tune in his life. I'm barely holding it together through some of these tracks. And crying whilst driving is neither a good nor a safe look. We've both gone very quiet as I negotiate the maze of roads leading up to the pick-up and drop-off area. The silence gets broken when Bridget realises the airport will charge a small fortune for the privilege of driving up this close to the doors. She practically loses her mind when she reads another sign that tells us for every minute over the initial 10 minutes, they will add another pound to the price. She makes me check the clock as we pull in. If they're going to charge us for it, we're going to make every one of those 10 minutes count. After all the kissing and the hugging, there's a quiet moment between us. And I'm just trying to memorise everything about her before she walks away and becomes the digital version of herself again. Of course I tell her I'm going to miss her, and that we'll figure out seeing each other again as soon as possible. You know, if that's what she wants. Bridget just grins at me. Of course it's what I want. She pauses. There's something else she wants to say. I can see it on the tip of her tongue. Before I can wonder what it is, she turns to me. This feels like the start of something peaceful. And thank heaven she kisses me right after, so I don't have to let on that I'm completely speechless at that. Bridget must have cracked an eye during that kiss because she pulls away suddenly. You've got to go or it is going to cost you £1 million to get out of here, she exclaims. I steal one more kiss before I get out of the car to hug her goodbye properly. We hold on to each other's hands until it's just our fingertips left in contact, and with one more step, she's gone. Away into the crowd. Bollocks to the charges, I watch her until she disappears from sight. After the little airport troll takes all of my gold, my wallet is lighter but my heart is heavy. I know what I said about crying and driving, but bloody hell, I'm not sure I can keep these tears out of my eyes. I can't swallow this sadness. I can't seem to stop it from sitting in my chest. I don't know, maybe I can drown it out. So I pick some songs I love and I belt out every word on my way back to Phoebe and Marco's. You can't be sad while you're singing along to some cheery tunes. It's still there, in the pit of my stomach, but for now, just keeping it down. It's a really clear night out here. Great for seeing the stars, bad for keeping the temperature above freezing, and it keeps dropping as I get closer to home. By the time I'm back at Phoebe and Marco's, I've already made up my mind to call a cab to get me back to my flat. I'd had good intentions of walking, but this sad feeling has me tired. Well, that and the distinct lack of sleep I've gotten since Thursday night. I thought I'd gotten lucky with the prompt and quiet taxi driver, but he seems determined to kill the both of us, most likely at a roundabout. There is no time for crying in this cab, just lots of very sharp intakes of breath as I wonder if I'll live to tell the tale of my fabulous weekend. If the cabbie wants to know if his seat belts work, he could have just asked. No need for the road test. I kind of have a rule. No tips for one or more near-death experiences while I'm in your cab. I pay my fare and I'm back climbing the stairs to my flat, opening the door to breathe her and I in. Shit, this place feels so empty. Feels emptier than when I first got the keys and there wasn't a stitch of furniture in it. Bridget is everywhere I look. That kiss in the kitchen. All those hours in my bed. That moment on the sofa. Well, technically over the sofa, I correct myself as I find myself grinning. I text her to let her know I'm home safe and see how she's getting on. Has she made it past security yet? Or did she feel the need to make some sort of wisecrack that's gotten her proper searched? Okay, good. She's fine. Well, okay, she's sad. So now apparently she's wearing the stolen hoodie and eating expensive hummus in the airport. A selfie arrives and I've got to admit my hoodie looks bloody marvellous with her favourite trousers. I think I'm going to be seeing a lot of this outfit. Man, it's so weird being back to texting her though. She was like right here, like an hour ago. And I just want to be where she is already. We're going to have to get something planned in really soon. No sooner have I thought it, but Bridget texts again. I'd really like to go to one of your next gigs. Ho ho, you know my ego loves hearing that. I'd better get one booked then, I text back. And I'd better start coming up with a new set. She's seen the Christmas special now. But for the moment, I'm just going to chill out here on the sofa while we chit-chat on WhatsApp as she waits to board a plane. We make plans to watch Big Mouth together and it transpires that she's seen all of it already but just wants to watch me watch it so she can laugh at the many faces I apparently make while it's on. Fair. Bridget also sends her apologies for all of the hair that she's left in my flat. She says she deliberately didn't brush her hair too much to minimise the shedding. I'm not sure she achieved it, but that's nice to know. God, I can't get over how empty it feels without her here. And it's not just her hair she's left behind. One of her hair bubbles, bands, whatever you want to call them, is just sat on my bedside table. I pop it on my wrist. A little bit of Bridget with me. Sitting on the edge of the bed, I open up my photos app to look at the selfies of us, and there are a bunch more selfies just of Bridget, looking cute, pulling silly faces. I can't help but laugh to myself. I love this girl's style. I text her a thank you for my bonus selfies and ask how she's getting on. I thought she'd be on her way by now, and as I'm looking up her flight, she replies to let me know she's only just gotten on now. Delayed, but she's bagged herself an aisle seat. I text back, busy plane, is it alright or is it just full of Muppets? But it doesn't deliver. Just that one lonely tick lets me know that it's been sent. She must be up and away, back to Belfast. And here's me, just wandering around my flat, from room to room, replaying and reliving every little situation we shared over the last 72 hours or so. Fuck. 72 hours? Was that all it was? And it's enough to leave me sat here wishing for another 72. Actually, I can't just sit here. I need a distraction. I need to get out of the house. I need to do something. I text Scarlett to see if I can drop over. And Johnny's there too. Perfect. And the walk over will do me good and all. Poor Johnny. Once I pitch up, the conversation turns entirely to Bridget's visit and what Scarlett thought of her and how the weekend went as a whole. A distraction would have been good, but actually, I am loving being able to gush about Bridget and how well it all went. Scarlett tells me I got top marks from them lot as well for being, what does she call it? Gallant. What a good word. Yeah, apparently my handling of the chicken burger debacle was well received all round. It's getting into that later part of the evening and I keep checking my phone to see if she's landed safely yet. And finally, her messages start to come through. She's landed, she's on the bus home. And now I can relax. Though, when you think about it rationally, the flight is probably actually the safest part of the whole trip. The lift to the airport with me is statistically the most risky part, followed by this bit now on the bus. But you know, planes, they kind of do a number on your brain, that's for sure. However many tons of metal somehow cruising through the sky. Never mind us gays being unnatural. Planes, they're unnatural things. My phone buzzes again. I miss your flat, is all her message says. And it puts a soft kind of smile on my face. Johnny chuckles. Look at the state of you, he says. I can't help but laugh because he's absolutely right. I am gone for this girl. Completely gone. I fill Bridget in on having abandoned my flat and the fact that I'm over hanging out with Scarlett. She really likes Scarlett. She wants to visit Scarlett. And for a moment, I'm just the go-between as they have a little chat between themselves. Scar tells us she's welcome any time and demands I show off her new cocktail chair to Bridget. I always think it's a good sign when the people you like the person you like. That makes sense. I hope Bridget's lot think I'm okay. Just as I am wondering about that, Bridget messages to tell me she sent my stand-up, the Christmas special, to her sister. Oh God. Oh God, please let her sister have a sense of humour. All I can reply is, what? Lol? Because I am having a little panic over here. Aye, she says you're never allowed near me again. And for a split second, I forget that this girl can do deadpan humour perfectly. Thankfully, she follows it up by reassuring me she's joking. Her sister hasn't actually watched it yet. Oh, goody. Let's add some suspense to this already tense moment. I'm not going to lie though, I'm a bit surprised she sent it to her. And I ask how come. Her answer has me beaming. Because she shared it because she was telling her sis how funny I am. And she confesses she has watched it a bunch more times in the airport. And now she's even quoting my own jokes back to me. She reckons she could do my set for me at this point. I hope she starts a fan club and becomes the president. And if she does, she had better do badges. Scarlett is keeping me well fed and distracted as I await Bridget's sister's verdict on my stand-up. T 10 long minutes later, Bridget forwards me her sister's text back. Lots of laughing emojis, you know, the ones on the diagonal, so that you know she found it proper funny. And, well, she literally wrote those words right after it. She's proper funny. Her disbelief at the flower debacle is also palpable. The sister liked it, and I seem to have gotten away with a few of the more risque jokes, shall we say. I put my phone down and relax. So much so that I have to explain myself to Johnny. Midway through the explanation, I get a screenshot from Bridget, and it takes me a minute just to work out what exactly it is I'm supposed to be looking at. And then there it is, in her notifications bar, below the settings, below the reply I'd just sent, below her Spotify showing her listening choice of the Spice Girls, Who Do You Think You Are, is a preview of a reply from her sister. What equipment did she clean? Followed by half a dozen question marks and all of the laughing emojis at all angles. Fuck. Oh God. I forgot about the joke right at the end of my set about making sure all my strap-ons and dildos were clean and ready to go. Oh God. Oh dear God. I am dying here. I just want to crawl down the back of Scarlett's sofa and never come out. Good luck looking my sister in the eye if you ever meet her, is Bridget's next message. I'm still proper dying here. I guess on the upside, at least her sister knows I take hygiene seriously. But what the hell am I supposed to say to that? I have no words. So I just send emojis back. Bridget sends through a few more compliments from her sister, and again, I'm beaming and blushing. I still can't believe she rates it that much, and I tell her so. Bridget points out that yes, while I am funny, this particular set is all about her, so of course she loves it. And then at long last, Bridget is home, in her own house, safe and sound. And I am sad and glad all at once. Glad she's home, with minimal bother, but sad because it's like I can feel every single mile her trip home has put between us. We take a pause from messaging each other as she sorts herself out, and I stop being distracted and antisocial. Thankfully, Scarlett and Johnny are being very understanding. We hang out for another hour or so until it's getting pretty late, and all of us have got work tomorrow. What an idiot. Why on earth have I not booked this week in between off? What a bloody amateur. Still, it should be an easy day tomorrow, which I'm gonna need because, I'm still missing all of that sleep I didn't get this weekend. I say my goodbyes and I head for home. Bridget is on the text to keep me company once more. She's being so bloody cute, like even more than I've been used to so far. And then she tells me she thinks she's coming down with a cold. Ah, now that extra cuteness makes sense. Feeling poorly definitely does that to some folks. She thinks the cold is what you get for staying up late kissing girls, and I think it's what you get for dating someone who can only afford to fly you economy. It's the plane's fault. I'm not taking the blame for this one. By the time I get back into my flat, I've seen how gorgeous the flowers I sent look now that they've opened up. I've seen where my Deathly Hallows canvas has been hung, and I've had 3 more selfies of Bridget in my hoodie. The last one is of her all curled up in bed, and I can't lie, she does look like she's coming down with something. And she sounds like it too as we spend another hour or so on video chat. It's now 1 a.m. and I really have got to get to sleep. Bridget has my hoodie, and as she points out, my bed smells of her. It's the best either of us are going to get for a while now. And then, in a moment of vulnerability, she confesses she's more grateful for my hoodie than she thought she would be. But let's be honest, that's mostly because she's feeling sorry for herself right now. It is a strong tactic though, a very good tactic, or as I would like to call it, a sneaky lesbian tactic. Just leave one of your hoodies with her. I have to confess, it's one of the many ways we get you. The free hoodie. We have got to get off this call or I am going to be a complete zombie later at work, easy day or not. But it is so hard to do when she's being so damn cute and just wishing for a cuddle. All I want to do is cutch her in close, but the best I can do is tell her to play back any one of the awesome cutches we had this weekend. That's something we didn't have before now, but the first weekend of memories have been made. We say goodnight at long last and I drift off pretty quickly. dreaming about the next weekend I hope we'll have together. In what will be a surprise to no one, getting out of bed this morning was ridiculously hard. And of course, that means I had to run to work. Even though there's bugger all happening, I do still hate to be late, even for nothing. I'm trying to be restrained and not message Bridget so that she can rest up. And so I take myself over to Twitter for update number 15. If there are words to explain this weekend or how fantastic she is, I don't have them. Hashtag zero chill, hashtag lucky as can be. Well, okay, that's a little bit of a lie considering all of the words I found to tell you all about this. But let's remember that Twitter has a limit on characters. I can't be writing essays on there. And if I'm not careful, Twitter updates are all my day will consist of. So I hide my phone up on an awkward shelf in the warehouse and get on with some work. And I'm pretty productive until Bridget calls me randomly late in the afternoon. It's so good to hear her voice. And we both point out how weird it is getting used to not being around each other after the weekend. Feeling unwell has definitely got Bridget down on herself. She is being unnecessarily harsh to herself, if you ask me. So I do my best motivational, supportive and kind pep talk, which boils down to heading to her sister's to get a bit of fussing and feeding, and plus hanging out with her niece, all of which I reckon will make her feel much better. And, being the practical butch I am, I suggest she picks up some cold and flu remedies while she's at it, or, you know, steals it from her sister's. I don't have siblings, but I figure that should be a thing, no, right? Just go around there and raid it. Bridget says yeah, and she'll give me a shout later after the medicine cabinet raid. Which leaves me with a few hours free this evening to decide what to wear to New Year's Eve over at Scarlett's. Scarlett will dress up, because that's what she loves. Any excuse for a stunning dress and a full face of makeup, and Scar is all over it. But you know, I'm thinking I might just keep it casual. Casual in the wardrobe department, anyway. I'm not sure these feelings I've got for Bridget are very casual. There's nothing I don't like about her so far. Well, except for the living in Belfast bit. That does seem like it could become problematic. How to stay in the moment, that's the problem I need to focus on. Be in the here and now, not daydreaming this relationship to its fairy tale happy ending. I keep myself reasonably occupied until Bridget texts. She's home from her sister's. I check in on her and she's feeling better in all ways. And the conversation zigzags all over the place. I especially enjoy the section on Belfast 101, where I learn the meaning of a multitude of new words. Melters, for example, are a pair of people being very soppy. A good example of that would be Bridget and I right now. You fucking rock it means you're crazy or you just did something mental. A ride, as in you're a ride or she's a ride, means you're someone I'd like to have sexual relations with. Or if a Northern Irish person really likes you and wants to take you out, they'll stay away from soppy sentiments. They don't want to be a melter, you know. No. They'll tell you they'll give you a ride and get you a bag of chips. It's quite the compliment, apparently. The conversation takes a number more turns before we end up back at the very beginning. Our opening messages on Tinder. Well, opening gifts. Turns out all you need to do to impress me is to message me first and use a gif of Jim Carrey shaking his ass in a bright orange suit. Naturally, I reply with a gif of Jimmy Fallon waving some hay. And here we are, I say. WhatsApp tells me Bridget is typing and then her message comes in. And here we are, lol. Who knew that gif was going to get me a decent orgasm at last? Not to minimise anything, like crying laughing emoji. Thank God I don't drink tea, because I think I'd have just spat it out everywhere reading that reply. And from there the conversation is only going in one direction and I won't be reading you those messages. Is the wee hours, to quote Bridget, when we finally give in and get some sleep. I'm off tomorrow, well, today, so it's not the end of the world, but I can barely keep my eyes open. And then I'm dead to the world. 8 hours later, and I am back on my bullshit before I've even got out of bed. Bridget is proper sick now, full of a head cold, and not at all in the mood for New Year's Eve shenanigans. As much as I can tell she wants to see her friends, the prospect of a 2-hour bus ride does not thrill her in this state. We waste the day sending video messages back and forth, texting, sending memes. It's just business as usual for us. Communication slows and becomes sporadic as we get ready to see the new year in. Her on the bus, me taking the longest, hottest bath ever. Eventually, we both get to our respective party venues, aka one of our friends' houses. We share the gathering's highlights with videos and photos back and forth over WhatsApp. Scarlett has got us all out in the backyard to burn our wishes or positive affirmations and something we want to let go of as well. I'm not sure how much I buy into all of this, but one, I do like a fire and burning stuff. And two, it's best to do it just in case I'm wrong about the whole thing. You know, hedge my bets, so to speak. Plus, it's a pretty cool way to see the old out and the new in. Bridget and I aren't on the phone at midnight. We're both in the moment with our good people. We text after, and both of our gatherings slowly started to wrap up, not that long after the midnight celebrations. Bridget is staying the night where she is, and I still need to walk home. I'll text when I'm back, I say, wondering if she might be up for a chat. Video call, maybe. I just want to see her face. I want to see her face because I want to ask her something. I know it's soon, but I don't think this is crazy soon. And it feels so right to me to ask this now. And if it feels right, how wrong can it really be? It's the first day of a new year, and I know now what I want from the year ahead. All I've got to do is work out how to word it on my walk home. I need just the right combination of words to make this a perfect moment. It would be such a great start to the year if she says yes. I don't know what it is, but I've got a feeling about 2020. I think it's going to be a big one. For once, this really does feel like this could be my year. 2020, I'm coming for you. Hello. It's been a minute, hasn't it? I hope you enjoyed me being back in your ears as much as I did getting this chapter done. The break that the show has been on was not intentional. Those of you who follow or belong to the quietest subreddit ever, r/TOAWEL, already have a pretty good idea of what's been going on for me. For those who don't read that, I'll be brief. I had a spontaneous collapsed lung while I was 400 miles away from home. I ended up stuck in hospital and having lung surgery, which it turns out is kind of major. My physical recovery went pretty well. My mental health, unfortunately, took a massive hit. And getting back to writing has been a slog. Getting back to delving through my memories was too painful at points, even for a happy chapter like this one. Thankfully, medication exists and it's helping me massively. And get me my queer badge, I'm finally doing the work. Yup, therapy. Actual therapy. Not tell your life story on a podcast as a cheap alternative to therapy. So yeah, I'm back. Not all the way, but pretty close. And you'll be pleased to know, besides not dying, I have been doing quite a lot of living lately. So the stories do continue for now. God bless the NHS, eh? And while I might not need a GoFundMe, I do still need your support for the show. Head to ko-fi.com, that's ko-fi.com/well-established-lesbian, to give a one-off donation or to set up a subscription if you can. And if you've appreciated the last 67 chapters. If you can't afford to support the show, please just rate it or review it on whatever platform you listen on. All of that massively helps me too. Oh, and keep telling your nan and your friends to listen too. It's appreciated. As always, thank you for the privilege of your time and for your patience on waiting for my return. Thanks for all of your messages, and I promise I'll be back sooner next time. In the meantime, take care of yourselves.